Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant, and was crying out in birth pains, and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven, and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore a child, he might devour it. And she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for him in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. And he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives, even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished, for a time, and times, and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. And then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and behold and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. This is God's word. Now, we are living in a strange time. And we do not always know what is happening and why is it happening. Biden, won the election in America, that he stole it from Trump. In Russia, they just put the opposition in jail. Everyone is crying, but they just continue with it. COVID is here and here to stay, seemingly. And governments are making rules sometimes ridiculous rules. So if we go to the casino, we can pull the machines and play the roulette and do everything, but we can't go to church. And we don't understand these things, and I also don't understand these things. But what we realize is that there must be some things behind all these things that's happening. It's not just happening. And then I did not even speak of the conspiracy theories. You know, was COVID manufactured in China, in the laboratories? Is there in the vaccine, is there those small machines that's going to change your DNA? You know, all those conspiracy theories. And I don't know. But what we realize is that there are powers at work. And, you know, this chapter, God is revealing to us something. Something of what's happening behind the scenes. And it gives us light and understanding, or some understanding, of what we experience every day. Romans 12 is considered as the center of the book of Revelation. This chapter starts with a new series of visions, and it ends in chapter 15, verse 4. And this part, chapter 12 to 15, is divided in 7 sections. You can go and see it more carefully. Chapter 12 to 22 is telling us the same story as in chapter 1 to 11. But it's giving us a little bit more detail. It's giving us more detail that we have here. And what is the more detail? It's the devil that's also revealed personally. The dragon, the serpent, is revealed here as well. God is revealed, chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 5, is the revealing God, the one in authority, the one ruling. But then the other power, we've seen it through the horses and through all the other things. But now we see, who is that power behind all those things? The devil. He's behind it. Now, what we must realize, and that is always what we must hold to, the devil is not autonomous. He can only act as far as God allows him to act. So he's not like God. Almighty and all powerful and everywhere. He's not like that. He's not God. He is limited. Powerful, yes, but limited. And that is what it is shown to us here. And in this chapter especially, God is saying, it's only for a time. I have set a time. I allow him for this 1,260 days or at times 42 months or... He's mentioning it different, but it's the time that God allowed him to do what he can do. So there's one purpose in this chapter, and that we can understand that behind the earthly persecutions, the earthly things that's happening, there are spiritual forces led by the devil himself. And that is what must motivate us to stand, to stand against the things that's not from God. It must motivate us, because we understand that there is this power at work. And the devil is working through world forces, through governments, through systems, through ideologies, is working through those things and trying to get what he wants, Christ, Christ in us. And that's his purpose. His purpose is to get us away from Christ. So this part is calling us to persevere, and it is giving us the foundation on which we can, because Christ already defeated the enemy. It's not that we are looking forward to a defeat of the devil. He has been defeated, and we'll see it in the passage. He has been defeated, and therefore we can persevere. Satan is not too powerful. He has been overthrown. And therefore, we must understand, if we compromise, we don't just compromise with the world, we compromise with the devil. Because he is the one behind all these systems and in these governments and powers at work. He's behind it. And if we compromise to follow that, then we compromise to the devil. And that is a serious matter that we must keep in mind. To come closer, this chapter, chapter 12, is divided in three parts, verse 1 to 6, verse 7 to 12, and 13 to 17. Verse 1 to 6 and 13 to 17 is dealing with more or less the same matters. And then chapters verse 7 to 12 is the central part of this chapter. The central part that we must take good note of. So just to summarize, the purpose of this chapter is to give us that knowledge to persevere despite persecution. And if I can give a theme for the whole sermon, I can say God protects his people against Satan. God protects his people against Satan because Christ has decisively conquered the devil through his death and his resurrection. Verse 1, we see here is seeing the sign in heaven of the woman. The woman in heaven. This woman is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head there are 12 stars. This woman revealed to us the faithful community of Christ. That is the Old and the New Testament. Those before and after Christ that believed in him. That is what this woman is the picture for us. We read, for example, in Genesis chapter 37 about Joseph, one of his dreams, how the sun and the moon and the stars bow before him. So Israel, seen as the sun and the moon and the stars. Also, the 12 stars surrounding her shows us the 12 constellations, how God viewed Israel's calling. Israel called that the Messiah could come from Christ. And the 7 stars in Revelation 1 of the congregations, the different congregations is seen as the stars. So it shows us that it is the believing community, this woman. That's the picture. She has a crown on. A crown because the believers share in the rule of Christ, with Christ, because of Christ. The woman appears here, and it seems she's very fragile, and it's uncertain because she is in agony and she wants to give birth. So the woman is persecuted. And that word that is used, being tormented, that word is used when the devil is tormenting or when God is tormenting. That's the word that is used there. So the church throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, the church is, the devil is now standing ready to torment and to devour The child that is born is to be born. So here is the one sign, that is the woman. We see a heavenly identity. We see the purity. And on the other side, we see the sign of the devil himself. And behold, I saw a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And he stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore a child, he might devour it. So here he is standing ready to devour the child. Now, the dragon, we read already in the Old Testament that Egypt is very much connected with a dragon. And if you read in Exodus, you also read that it is saying that God destroyed the dragon, the sea dragon, when he delivered the Israelites from Egypt. And John associated that dragon, that is a picture of Egypt, and he applies it also to Rome. And he is saying that monster, the new Exodus that Christ introduced for us to be out of our slavery of sin, that same dragon is here in play. This dragon, he is the imitator of God. Luther said that the devil is God's ape. He's just trying to imitate God, because if you read chapter 12, it's the dragon. Chapter 13, we read about the beast out of the sea, the equivalent in the evil trinity of Christ, and then the false prophet, the equivalent of the Holy Spirit. And here we see that he also have crowns on. So it shows that he has power, but he wants to imitate Christ again. He wants to imitate him. The color is red because of the oppressive character of the dragon. And John is connecting it also to Daniel. So if you read Daniel, you'll see that many of these things are from there. Now, it is saying in verse 4 that the dragon's tail swept down 1/3 of the angels, that the devil rebelled against God, and 1/3 of the angels followed him, and they fall on the earth, they bring persecution on the earth, they want to attack the Israelites, they want to attack those that believe. And now he wants to kill the Messiah, the one promised from the beginning of the Bible. He wants to kill him. In verse 5, we read a snapshot of Christ's entire life, his birth and his destiny as king. But it is saying it in one line, verse 5. No? He is saying, and she gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule with a rod of iron. But the child was caught up to God and to his throne. So it tells in one line everything Christ did from the time he was born till the ascension. Everything that happened there in one line. And you can see that also in other places where he's doing the same. And that gives the victory. That what Christ did gives the victory to us. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. So the church fled to the desert. Now the desert, the wilderness, is a picture of what we have in the Old Testament. When his people were in the desert, God cared for them. God nourished them. God gave them his word and his presence. And through his word and through his presence, he guided them through the desert. So if the woman is now fleeing to the wilderness, it shows us two things. It shows us it's the place God prepared and God cared. But it also shows us it's a place of danger. Because if you read in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, many times that the wilderness was seen as a place of sin, of danger. So it's not to say it's not without danger. And if it is saying that God is protecting, it is protecting against deception. It's not to say it will always be physical protection. So sometimes we say, but why is that one suffering like that? Because that one is doing what God is asking. And then we must realize God's protection is in the first place a spiritual protection. And not to say always a physical protection. So it's a place of trial and it's a place of protection. And that's where we are. We as the church, we are still here. We are there. We are in the desert. We have God's protection through his word. We have his presence through his spirit. We have that. He's protecting us. But we must not think it's not the place also of trials. The Bible is saying it's an uninhabitable place, a place of sin, a place of evil, a place of judgment, a place of fiery animals, a place of evil spirits. You can go and read the text. So God is saying to us, we must not think because we serve him that there will be no danger. There will be. But we must also hold to the protection. It's also interesting that that word that he's using to the place that God prepared, that place, topos, that word is a synonym for temple. That is used in the Bible for sanctuary. So God is preparing a place, and the place is a sanctuary, a place, a temple, and the temple is the symbol of God's presence. And that also reminds us that while we are here in this world, that's where we must be. We must be in the presence of God. Because that's where we will be guided. That's where we will be safe from deception, if we are close to Christ. If we move away from him, then we move away from his presence, from his place, topos, that he has prepared for us. But that brings us to verse 7, verse 7 to 12. When that happened now, when Christ was born, and died, and was resurrected, and ascended to heaven. When that happened on earth, there was also something happened in heaven. And you can again go and compare it with what happened in Daniel, even what happened with the Exodus. In the Exodus, we read that the Jewish writings, they say that during the exit, Egypt's guardian angels were judged. They were conquered. They were executed at the Red Sea. And that's what is happening here now. With the Exodus, there was guarded great work on earth. He led his people out of bondage. But in the heavenly spheres also some things happened. Daniel is also speaking of Michael and the Son of Man that fought against the angels. Now, Michael and the Son of Man, in Daniel, is equivalent, we can say, to the angel of God, Michael representing Israel, fighting the fight, and here we have the same. John is using that. John is using that when Christ, the Son of Man, had the victory on earth, there was also this victory in heaven. And the devil was thrown out from heaven. And it is saying there was no place for him, was found any longer in heaven. And that is the victory. The victory that was on earth through Christ, the victory is also in heaven. The devil was thrown out. He cannot accuse anyone anymore. Up to that stage, he was accusing. He was saying, why can you set these ones free? Now there's no place for him anymore. No place. And therefore, verse 10, a voice comes from heaven. A voice is saying, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. So there is victory. In the beginning I said there's a battle on. But we are not fighting to conquer. We are fighting on the basis of what Christ already did. He conquered for us. We can stand in his victory. And the angel is saying, the voice, because the voice can be God, an angel or Christ, is saying he's been thrown out. There is now freedom. So this time that God is giving, that he's speaking of, the 1260, that's the time from Christ's first coming to his second coming. In that time, we read now further that the devil is now thrown on the earth, and he is now trying his best. The victory is there. But look at verse 12. He's saying, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. So the church, the triumphant church that's already in heaven, they can rejoice because of the victory of Christ. But look what he's saying. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And that's where we are. So actually this passage is saying it's a woe. And that's what we must realize. We will be under attack. And if you're not under attack, perhaps there's a problem. Perhaps you are working with the devil. But if we are for Christ, standing for him, we will be attacked. And the devil knows this. And he is putting every bit of energy because he knows he has little time. So just as we have the hope in Christ that encourages us to stand and to persevere, the devil also is encouraged to do his best to deceive us, because he knows his time is short. Because God has limited his time. He has only a short time left. And therefore we have an enemy, and therefore we must be motivated to stand for him. If we read now again in verse 13, it picks up actually from verse 6. And from verse 12. So it picks up again to say what happened to the church, how she fled to the place where that God has prepared for her. The eagle's wings, we find that also in Exodus. We find the eagle wings. We find it in the Psalms many times where David is saying, protect me by your wings. It's God's conquering. It's God's protection. And he's doing it through his presence and through his word. Do we love God's word? Do we love God's presence? To make sure we are living with his word and in his presence. Because that's how God is protecting them. Verse 15, we read that the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. Now, a river of water from his mouth. So it is the deception that he's throwing out to the church, to deceive the church. That is this river. It's out of his mouth. He wants to deceive. And if we look at the churches around us, then we see how the deception is many times amongst us. And therefore, we must stand firm that we must not be deceived. So this deception is throwing out behind that. But God opens the earth to swallow the river. God's presence is protecting us against the deception. So if we live by God's word and in God's presence, we will be protected. But look, think back what God did in Exodus again. It is saying that when God led his people through the Red Sea, he's saying the earth swallowed the Egyptians. Those that followed Israel to brought them back to slavery, they were swallowed by the earth. Think of Dathan, Korah, Nabiram, how they were in rebellion against God, against Moses, and how God opened the mouth and swallowed them, that their deception was not spread among his children. So God is the one protecting us. Verse 17, he's saying, then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is like a summary of what he just said from verse 13. He's saying, we must realize he's out to get us. He is furious. He is not playing. So we cannot be lukewarm. We must be hot or cold. We must be effective in Christ. We must allow his presence, that we live in it, that we can be like Elijah when he stand before Ahab. He said, I'm standing before God. Is that how we live? Because we have an enemy. An enemy that's furious. So if we see the things happening, we must realize it's the enemy that's furious. And he's trying through governments and through systems and through ideologies. He's trying to get us. And we must hold to God's word. We must stand firm in his word. Those that obey the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. I want to encourage you. We have conquered in Christ. Christ's victory is our victory. But are we in the place that God prepared for us? His presence and his word Is those things precious for us? Or is it just things that we let pass by? Let us be sure to hold to that. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the victory through your death, through your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that that victory was final and that the devil was thrown out from heaven. And that we are now waiting just for the final revelation, when we'll be fully with you and the devil will be fully thrown in the lake of fire. Lord, I pray that each one of us will realize that we have an enemy, a furious enemy, an enemy that is seeking to lead us to sin, to lead us to be deceived, to take on other false teachings, to hold to things that's not in your word. A furious enemy, Lord, that's throwing rivers of false deception at us. And Lord, we can only pray that you'll open the earth and swallow those things, that we will not believe them, that it will not come to us. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you for your presence and your word. Make it dear to us, Lord, that we will really hold to it and live it. Thank you that we may trust you. In Jesus' name, Amen.